Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to this special edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Mix 103.7 and Fort McMurray Today presents Alberta Votes, a special provincial election, Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo candidate debate.
Good afternoon and welcome to this special edition of Fort McMurray Matters as we bring you the first provincial election debate for the riding of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo in partnership with the Fort McMurray Today. I am your host, Elizabeth Priest. There are four candidates running to become the next MLA of this riding, including incumbent Tanny Yao with the United Conservative Party, NDP candidate Stephen Drover, Marcus Earlson with the Alberta Party, and Alberta Independence Party candidate Michael Keller. We have broken down how the debate will work with our candidates, but for those listening, just so you know, candidates will have a minute to present their opening remarks, then we'll get into the questions. They each have a minute to answer each question with a 30-second rebuttal if they wish. So we have done a random draw, and we will be starting with Mr. Tanny Yao with the UCP, and you can now start with your opening remarks.
It's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank constituents of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo for having faith in me for the last 4 years, and I hope I can continue that on. The battle continues, ensuring that we have a government that's lean, efficient, and effective, but still gets us those core frontline services that we require. And I hope to represent our community very well going forward.
All right. Thank you very much. And Mr. Keller.
Hi, everyone. I'm representing the Alberta Independence Party. We hope to end equalization payments, bring in the lowest individual taxes and GST and carbon tax, have the lowest business taxes, reduce government waste, and we will not reduce any services. Also to implement a national police if we become an independent nation. One thing I'd also like to say is that if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state.
Perfect. Thank you. And we have Mr. Earlson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you very much. I'm Marcus. I'm here representing the Alberta Party. Thank you very much for having me. The Alberta Party is looking to provide a centrist platform moving forward. We want to provide sound economics, potential for job growth, push for pipelines, push for alternatives for pipelines, such as the train line up to Alaska to hook into the pipeline there, while still maintaining frontline services, ensuring that all Albertans have access to sound education and good quality public health care. In addition, we want to expand the early childhood learning, provide a voucher system for subsidization for healthcare, for childcare, and also provide mandatory vaccinations for all children attending public school. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. And last but not least, we have Stephen Drover with the NDP.
Thank you very much for having me here today. I'd really like to start off by acknowledging that we are on Treaty 8 territory, the traditional territory of the Cree, Dene, Beaver, and Métis people, and that both Fort McMurray ridings are dedicated to ensuring that the spirit of Treaty 8 is honored and respected. For me, when people ask, why am I running in this election? It's really about Rachel Notley. I believe that she is the leader that has a vision for our region and our province. She's also the only person who's been fighting since day one to get more pipelines built.
Rebuttal.
She's been fighting to get our energy to markets, world markets, and I believe that she has a vision that's going to prosper us for the next 20 to 50 years. I believe that she's the only person who's fighting for the average day Albertan.
Perfect. Thank you. We will now get into our questions. Once again, you each have 1 minute to answer each question. And then if you do have a rebuttal, just put your hand up and you can use your 30 seconds once everybody has had a chance to answer. So we are going to start with Marcus Erlandson. You'll be answering this question first. Critics say the carbon tax has made heating, groceries, and everyday tasks more expensive. Many Albertans, as well as small and large businesses across Alberta, have said the policy has hurt them financially. Proponents say it makes the oil industry more attractive. Data given to Post Media shows more than $18 million in funding collected by the carbon tax has been approved for local green energy projects. What is your stance on the carbon tax and how it impacts Wood Buffalo? You have 1 minute.
So the carbon tax, as structured currently, is not a good system. And the Alberta Party plans to revamp the carbon tax, particularly exempting households, small businesses, farms, and nonprofits. We would also make it revenue neutral. Revenues would be used to offset personal and corporate taxes, as well as any excess revenues would be used to pay down provincial debt. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Stephen Drover with the NDP.
First, I think we need to really understand the carbon tax, and that was a conservative federal plan. We need to thank Jim Prentice for going across all of Canada and speaking to all the members of Parliament when he was federal MP and touting the virtues of the carbon tax. And even when he became leader here in Alberta, he believed in it. For us to sell a product to the world market, we have to show that we're serious about our carbon imprint. And by doing that, this carbon tax right across Canada will help us show the world that we are serious about our emissions. The top oil companies support this because they know that that is a vehicle for us to get our oil to world markets to be profitable. We have to sell to the world market. And the carbon tax allows us to have a product that we can sell, and people will understand that we're serious about our emissions.
Thank you. Up next is Mr. Tan Yao with the UCPs.
The United Conservative Party, we're going to scrap the carbon tax. Let us be clear. This is a tax that was put on Albertans at a time when you should not be putting taxes on, and that's during an economic downturn. Despite the name, it does nothing for the environment. If we want to truly help the environment, we can sell countries like China our products, so instead of them burning coal to heat their homes, that they can use these higher efficiency energies that create less pollution. And it benefits them and it benefits us. But certainly, when we're talking about the environment, Canada is not the issue. We are a very aware population. We build engineered homes that retain heat and require very few energy to keep them heated. And we're living in a sub-zero climate. So people have to recognize that we do need our industry to not only heat our homes, but we can help other places in the world.
Thank you. And next is Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party.
Well, we're going to scrap the carbon tax. There has been no evidence that anybody's doing anything different with the carbon tax. Does anybody drive less? Does anybody go any trips around the world less? No. So it's basically, in our opinion, it's been somewhat of a provincial sales tax, if you will. So by eliminating that, of course, it's going to be better for everybody. Cheaper fuel for your home, your vehicle, cheaper for transportation. Hopefully, all the goods that are transported will be cheaper as well.
Great, thank you. Does anybody have a rebuttal in any of these on this question? All right, moving on to the next one. And we are going to start with Mr. Drover of the NDP on this question. All party leaders have agreed the inability to get pipelines built hurts the national economy. Considering final approval rests with the federal government, what would your party do to actually get pipelines built within the next four-year term, Mr. Drover?
I believe Rachel Notley has been fighting from day one to get these pipelines built. And she's the only leader who's put a concrete plan and forced, I believe, the federal government to invest the $4.5 billion to buy that pipeline. I fully suspect we're going to have an Indigenous group who's going to buy it because those people believe in a 20, 50-year investment and see great returns on that. But the pipeline is a federal issue. But not only do we need to go west, we also need to go east. Every day, we still import 800,000 barrels of oil from foreign countries. We can, in the next 10 years, cut that in 50%, putting thousands of Alberta workers to work to meet our own needs here in Canada. It only makes sense for us to go east as well as west with our oil products.
Thank you. Next, we have Mr. Yat with the UCP.
Let's be clear. Pipelines are how we get oil and gas to market for sale. The lack of the pipeline capacity causes the price for oils to go down and prevent further investment. We will pursue every possible pipeline project to get our oil and gas to market. This includes two stall projects, Keystone XL and Trans Mountain. And it also includes the fight to restart Energy East and Northern Gateway and to complete Line 3. Even when you talk to the oil companies, they wholeheartedly agree. We don't just need one or two of these. We need all of these pipelines to truly thrive. Regarding, can I do a rebuttal?
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned about what the NDP are saying, that Premier Notley has been fighting for our oil. We have to recognize that before her and the rest of the NDP got elected, every one of them protested our oil industry. She took a year to evaluate our oil industry. She did a royalty review. In that time, we saw it here in Fort McMurray, the internationals up and left us. And left us with far fewer competitors for our product. Far
and that's your minute. Just remember, you can add in your rebuttal once everybody's done their first full minute answer. So next on this question is Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party. You have 1 minute.
How many of you guys know about IMO 2020? Do you know the details of it? Well, generally speaking, what it is that it's a change in international shipping due to the fuel that they now have to burn. So because of that, everybody's compensating by going to larger ships. Because of that, the Burnaby Terminal is going to be obsolete January 1st, 2020. So the Trans Mountain Pipeline is obsolete. We paid close to $5 billion for nothing. What we need are deep water ports, and if everybody votes for Alberta to be independent, there are UN laws, access to tidewater, and we could get three pipelines built, north, west, and east.
Perfect. Thank you. And last on this question is Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party. You have a minute.
Thank you. So the Alberta Party would continue to lobby the federal government, particularly in regards to the Trans Mountain Pipeline. But in addition to that, we would continue to pursue other options, namely a rail line heading to Alaska to tie into the Alaska Pipeline in order to access the port there, and also increasing investment in the bitumen puck program in order to provide a safer, more efficient form of transportation outside of pipelines. This will help diversify our market and get us better prices on the world stage, because we'll no longer be reliant on selling to the Gulf. Our oil is so heavily discounted because we only sell to the Gulf Coast, and they used to be our best customer. Currently, they're our biggest competitor.
Perfect. Thank you. And would anybody like to rebuttal on this one? All right. So, Mr. Drover with the NDP, you have 30 seconds, and this is one of your first of three rebuttals.
Truly, a lot of the oil companies have left because for 40 years the conservatives were in power and they never had the forethought to build more pipelines. It is imperative that these lines get built, but we have to get it to world market, not to the United States. As Marcus just said, our number one buyer is now our number one competitor. We need to go to world markets with our oil, not continuously selling it down to the States. The fight wasn't with...
And that's your 30 seconds. Thank you. Would anybody else like to use a rebuttal for this question?
Yeah, I have a question with making these pellets or whatever. What is going to be the capacity per day that you're going to be able to make these pellets? Where I work, we produce right on an average about 330,000 barrels of crude oil a day. So how is this process supposed to work and to transport it? That's going to drive up costs, etc.
All right. Would anybody else like to use the rebuttal? All right. Moving on to our third question. And Mr. Yao with the UCP, you will be kicking off this. This past spring, the NDP government began discussing ways to bring abortion services into rural areas and smaller cities. Fort McMurray was one of the communities considered. How high of a priority is this for you and your party to bring these services to our region? Mr. Yao, you have 1 minute.
We have to recognize that a woman's right to their body, and that we need to support them in every way, including access to medical care. So we weren't aware this was an issue, and we certainly take a very pragmatic approach. But along with this, we actually need other health infrastructure here. Fort McMurray, we have a very young population. You know, a lot of women here are giving birth. We have a higher than proportionate proportion versus every other community, and yet we have fewer pediatricians and obstetricians. Those are the kind of supports we need in our community. That's really a focus that citizens here have told me about.
Perfect. Thank you. Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party, you have a minute.
We are a party of the people for the people. So if a question like this comes up, which is very controversial, we'll put it to the people, and the majority will decide if it's something that needs government funding. Obviously, there is a need at times for this, medically or emergency, that sort of thing. If it's by any other choice, well, that's something that the people have to decide.
Perfect. Thank you. And Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you. Abortion is certainly a very hot-button topic, but ultimately, this is about a woman's right to choose, and I think if anything that we can do to make a struggling woman's life easier is an important thing to do. So it's something that we would absolutely support. But as Mr. Yao pointed out, we certainly have other issues for health in this region. Pediatricians, absolutely. There is a severe lack of pediatricians. As a father of a young child myself, it is a struggle to find good health care in this community. And it's something that the Alberta Party will work to attract better doctors and more doctors to this region.
Perfect. Thank you. And Mr. Drover with the NDP.
I believe that our policy is pretty clear, that every woman has a right to choose, and we want to expand services throughout Alberta. We have to offer these services because they're in need. And I think that this government, in all forms of healthcare, is trying to meet the needs in each of our communities throughout Alberta. We have a leader who supports women's and their women's right to choose for their own body. I can't say the same with Jason Kenney. He has a history of attacking women's rights as well as rights of the LGBT community. And I believe with him in power, some of these instructions that we have today and services will be underfunded. And I believe that everybody needs to be aware of that, that he has a long history of attacking women's rights.
Thank you. Would anybody like to use their rebuttal on this question? All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this debate when we return after these commercials.
We'll be right back with this special edition of Fort McMurray Matters, Alberta Votes, Candidate Debate.
We now return to the Alberta Votes Candidate Debate, presented by Fort McMurray Matters and Fort McMurray Today.
If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is the four candidates looking to become the next MLA for the riding of Fort McMurray with Buffalo. We have UCP candidate Tani Yao, NDP candidate Stephen Drover, Marcus Erlinson with the Alberta Party, and Michael Keller with the Alberta Independence Party. And now getting right back into the questions, and Mr. Keller, you will be starting this one off. Waitlists across the province have failed to shrink in Alberta. Demands for specialists and healthcare workers, such as doctors, nurses, and midwives, is increasingly high. How would your party work to solve these issues? Mr. Keller, you have 1 minute.
Well, since we would be eliminating the transfer payments, a lot of that money would be going into healthcare. I think what really needs to be done is we've got to look at the root causes of this of the problems. Identifying the root causes, then we can move ahead to see where money needs to be put, if we need to attract more specialists here or there, etc., then that's what we'll be doing.
Great, thank you. Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party, you have 1 minute.
All right. One of the policies that the Alberta Party plans to put forward is an updating of our healthcare card system. Currently, we use a paper card. It's an antiquated system. We would look to combine that with our driver's license card and provide the option of a digital app. It's believed this will cut down on fraud within our healthcare system to provide better access to funding because we'll no longer be funding treatments that we shouldn't be. Ultimately, we need to do a review, make sure that we understand where our healthcare dollars are going, make sure that we have access to the frontline services that we need. And for this region, I think what we need to do is provide a better job of attracting specialists. Even if it is a 1 to 2 day a week type of position, have a specialist visit the region to reduce the number of times that people have to travel to Edmonton in order to access healthcare.
Thank you. And Mr. Drover with the NDP, you have 1 minute.
I'm really proud of how our government has handled the healthcare by hiring 1,200 more doctors and 1,200 more nurses. We've reduced the breast cancer surgery by more than 60% in Calgary and over 30% in Edmonton. To see a specialist for your stomach, we've reduced the wait list in Calgary by almost 100%. When it comes to hip fracture repairs, we're some of the best in all of the country. For our 17 stroke treatment centers in Canada, we're some of the best in the world. So I think we have a great record when it comes to healthcare, and we know that there needs to be improvement, and we're going to put $90 million more dollars in to open up more aging and care facility beds also. This is a government that's invested locally in our hospital here to do upgrades, and also in our aging care fair, aging in age center.
Thank you. And Mr. Yat with the UCP.
You know what? More money to healthcare is not necessarily the answer, but I can guarantee you that the United Conservative Party will not be cutting the budget. The previous government here right now, they've invested over $2 billion more dollars into our health system. And as Mr. Drover suggested, they've had thousands of employees. And yet everything from cataract surgeries to heart surgeries to hip surgeries and knee surgeries have increased in wait times. Emergency department wait times are almost at 2.5 hours now. Over 17,000 people or trips out of Fort McMurray are going to Edmonton and other agents areas for treatment and to see specialists and other appointments. You know what? This is absolutely terrible. Again, they're building a bureaucracy. They demonstrate no responsiveness to our healthcare system, and we're seeing deteriorating results. We're amongst the worst in the nation right now.
Thank you. Would anybody else or anyone like to use a rebuttal on this question? All right, moving on to our next question, and Mr. Erlinson, you will kick this one off. Last month, NDP leader Rachel Notley announced she would commit a secondary route out of Fort McMurray and would study Council's East Clearwater Highway proposal. Is a secondary route out of Fort McMurray a priority? If so, how would your party avoid the delays that kept Highway 63 from getting twinned on time? Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much. Currently, the Alberta Party has not announced any type of program for a secondary escape route out of Fort McMurray, but it is something that I personally feel is a huge priority for our region. I think the push should be for a route to the west towards Grand Prairie. We have the start of it, as I'm sure anybody who lives in the Parsons Creek area knows. It's probably a constant reminder driving up that highway. With the overpass to nowhere. It's something that I would push for to get funding. It would provide us alternate routes out of the city and also open up new shipping options to help attract businesses here because they would have alternate routes for moving products up to Fort McMurray and between other regions in the north of Alberta.
Great, thank you. Mr. Drover with the NDP, you have 1 minute.
Again, this is an example of how our government listens. This was a request from our municipality, and I believe that also the expanding of our high load limit roads so that industry can expand over the next 20 years is going to be critical infrastructure for all of Alberta. This is a government that works with our local municipality, and many of our councils say this is the first time that they've had that in their whole length of service here. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the work that they're doing. And again, if that's a priority from our city, then I support it wholeheartedly. It's going to take years to build because I know there's a lot of studies left that have to be done, but it's going to be critical infrastructure for this area when we want to expand in the future.
Great, thank you. Mr. Yao with the UCP.
unfortunately, may not be considered quite the priority that everyone else emphasizes it is. Certainly, I've seen the infrastructure lists, and it isn't. We still have 190 kilometers to twin all the way to get to Edmonton, as an example, to finish that route. We have highways north of town here that go all the way up to Fort MacKay and some of these industrial plants that we could use some expansions on to bring that population here to this community. Ultimately, it is a lot of money, and I'd ask certainly the New Democrats how they're going to, where are they going to get this money from? There's road infrastructure projects right across this province that really need some support, but we have to be tempered in making these decisions.
Right. Thank you. And Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party.
Well, we really need to get the whole economy of the province going. If we have a problem with getting our product to Tidewater, is there even going to be anything expanding up here? So is this road really necessary at this time? I know that in the short term it'll generate jobs and that sort of thing, but again, this is that's a lot of money. Where is this money going to come from? And should we look at other priorities?
Great, thank you. Would anybody like to use their rebuttal on this question? All right, moving on. Mr. Drover with the NDP, you will kick off this question. In your view, how has the provincial government managed the rebuild following the May 2016 wildfire? How would your party approach things during the next 4 years? Mr. Drover, you have 1 minute.
I'm really proud of the work that Rachel Notley has done, both here for this fire and work with the community for the rebuild. Even as much as expanding the insurance companies to give us another year to close up some of the claims. From day one, she showed tremendous leadership. And I believe that, everybody owes her a debt of gratitude for the work that her and the local emergency response team worked. It is truly a success on many different levels. And we have to thank our firefighters, our RCP, our ambulance. She was just one link on a very long chain that helped us be successful. And the rebuild, you know, working with every insurance company to get these claims closed. For some, it's still been a real frustration, but that extra year has helped. And, we wish much success to everybody here in Fort McMurray, the businesses and individuals that are still suffering. And we hope to do even a better job.
Thank you. Mr. Yao with the UCP, you have 1 minute.
If there's anything we've learned from the fires that happened here, a big aspect is insurance. And I'd certainly be willing to take to challenge insurance companies on this. And a lot of the measures that they use to provide compensation are very subjective and not objective. They need more firm measurables. And we saw that in town here where neighbors were getting different treated differently based on either their insurance company or their policy, but certainly that a lot of that language needs to be cleaned up, because in the end, everyone who buys insurance wants to have what they had originally restored. Another concern is the Condominium Act, and I want to look at that as well, especially with the issues around Hillview condos. I'd like to see perhaps more support for condo boards if they have to rebuild an entire facility.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party.
Well, one could also look at what was done to even prevent the wildfire. Up to that point, I think the NDP was actually trying to cut funding to water bombers and had actually cut contracts to the big water bomber that was here a few years ago. So I don't know if I'd really be proud of what happened as far as prior to the fire. Post-fire, there's been delays in rebuilding. There's people that are still out of their, not returned to their homes nearly three years later. There's been a lot of fraud, which hasn't been identified by anybody or looked into. I think our party should look into that. And of course, what did we learn from Slave Lake? There was a big report on that, and nobody did anything on as far as prevention.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you. I think that the response in terms of the rebuild has been very uneven, and it's been very dependent on who the insurance provider was for the homeowner. Talking with people that I know, some people had great experiences, no issues with the insurance. Their house was rebuilt. Sometimes they were able to make slight additions. Other people still aren't back into their homes. We need to make sure that we're reviewing the legislation around insurance policies, making sure that there's clear verbiage in the insurance policies, and making sure that people can understand what their coverage is. It's not always clear what's being covered. And the other thing is making sure that condominiums have the support that they need. As a member of my condo board, it's often unclear as to what our insurance covers and what is up to the homeowner's insurance.
Great, thank you. Would anybody like to use a rebuttal on this question? No? Okay, moving on to the next one. And Mr. Yao, you will kick off this question. When speaking with Indigenous voters, what issues do they raise? What solutions do you have to fix them? You have 1 minute.
Our Indigenous community, you know, they're looking for supports in a lot of different areas. Certainly, United Conservative Party, we've committed to providing upwards of $1 billion to help with business infrastructure and development for Indigenous communities to invest in, support to invest in industry and businesses and work towards becoming more self-resilient.
Great, thank you. Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party, you have 1 minute.
We, as the Independent Party of Alberta, if we become independent, we will be resolving all of the First Nations treaties, treaties 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10. That way they can, for once, get self-government and work as a trading partner with the independent Alberta as far as with trade, etc. So we're hoping that they can resolve, because of that, resolve a lot of issues and have the funding where they can get fresh water, sewer facilities that we enjoy, which I guess they're not getting. And it's people are getting sick on the reserves, which is just atrocious.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you. The First Nations rights and interests vary greatly across this province. In our region, I think one of the priorities would be encouraging partnerships with energy projects, similar to the East Tank Farm agreement that recently took place, where it became, I believe, 49% First Nations owned. That is the type of investment that the Alberta Party is trying to encourage from First Nations groups. One of the other items that was identified recently is access to high-speed internet, trying to make sure that all rural Albertans, especially First Nations people, have access to high-speed internet, as it's becoming a need. It helps provide opportunities with business as well as personal life.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Drover with the NDP Party, you have 1 minute.
The Indigenous community is wholeheartedly supporting Rachel Notley because she is a leader that has been listening and working collaboratively with her Indigenous groups throughout the province. Recently, I got to meet Chief Allen, and he just could not say enough about how his band has been listened to, and they don't get everything that they want, but they have such a great relationship with this current government and how they support it, and they're asking all their members to also support Rachel Notley. They see a future with the NDP party, but with the UCP, they have no future. Mr. Yount's mentioned the funding. That funding's actually been cut. One of the few things that Mr. Kenny cut after his big debate, the funding has been rolled back on that from $1 billion to, I think it's now only a couple hundred million. So again, that's changes.
Thank you very much. Would anybody like to use their rebuttal on this question? Mr. Yao?
If I could find it, I would.
All right, moving on. And Mr. Keller, you will be kicking off this question. Last August, the Early Years Coalition released a survey examining local child care. It found a lack of qualified staff facing licensed child care providers. It also found the average parent of a 14-month-old child spends approximately $1,400 a month on child care. How would your party cut costs to families while increasing the number of trained professionals? Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party, you have 1 minute.
Well, we are going to reduce personal taxes to a flat tax at 20% after $45,000, 8.5% tax for businesses, 9% for international businesses. So by reducing the tax structure, everybody should have more flexible or disposable income. And we're hoping that that will relieve everybody for a lot of these expenses that that they're having, being burdened with. Child care, yes, is very important, and we need to, you know, look at that as far as do we really look at the root causes of a lot of stuff and see where the money really needs to be put to help out.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you. This is a very important issue for the Alberta Party. It's one of the major topics that we've brought up. We plan to roll out a subsidized daycare system with prices ranging from $0 per day to $30 per day, depending on income level of the family. This would be based on a voucher system, so it would not be tied to a specific daycare facility. It would be tied to the child. In addition to that, we're going to be looking at providing a tax credit for those who want to have a different type of child care, whether that be a nanny or something of that like. This will help to alleviate the burden. It's certainly something I feel as a father of a young child. We pay $1,300 a month for childcare. It's outrageous how expensive the childcare is.
Great, thank you. Mr. Drover with the NDP.
Again, this is another policy that I'm really proud that Rachel brought in, is the $25 a day childcare. The expense to raise a child and to have adequate care is really our second biggest payment under our mortgages. And that's money that she's putting back into hardworking Albertan families. We started the program, we expanded it, and now we want to bring it to almost every family across Alberta in the next 5 years. Again, at an affordable rate of $25 a day. I think that is a huge success for this province. There's an initial investment. By having the spouse go back to work, it actually generates money for us. So it is a great thing. We've seen it work well in Quebec, and I think that it's going to be very successful here in all of Alberta.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Yao with the UCP.
In regards to the subsidized daycare, we really believe that should be focused on those that are most vulnerable, those single women who are struggling to make ends meet and are struggling with things like childcare and be able to afford that. So certainly we'd be able to focus that, those supports specific to them. It'd be nice to be able to provide daycare and so many more things like the NDP are providing. Premier Notley is announcing so much investment, but the truth of the matter is socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And right now they're spending at a breakneck pace that's going to exceed now $100 billion. And that is very disconcerting for all Albertans. If we choose to re-elect them, and things are going to be financially tough. Regarding child care, though, we should do something about the regulations. A local daycare here that accommodates shift workers, just by the hours they work, is penalized by these regulations from even operating.
Great, thank you. Would anybody like to use a rebuttal on this question?
I would.
Actually. Okay, you have 30 seconds, Mr. Erlinson.
So Mr. Yao brought up that we can't afford subsidized daycare. Personally, I think we can't afford not to have subsidized daycare. If we are limiting our workforce to half of the population of the 25 to 35 demographic, we're leaving out a huge tax base and a huge economic base. By providing subsidized daycare, it makes it more affordable for families to have both partners working and providing economic fuel.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to use their rebuttal? All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this debate when we return after these commercials.
We'll be right back with this special edition of Fort McMurray Matters, Alberta Votes, Candidate Debates.
We now return to the Alberta Votes Canada debate, presented by Fort McMurray Matters and Fort McMurray Today.
If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is the four candidates looking to become the next MLA for the riding of Fort McMurray with Buffalo. We have UCP candidate Tanny Yao, NDP candidate Stephen Drover, Marcus Erlinson with the Alberta Party, and Michael Keller with the Alberta Independence Party. And now getting right back into the questions, and Mr. Erlinson, you will be starting this one off. With gay straight alliances and schools across Alberta, including here in Fort McMurray, how would your party treat GSAs and protect LGBTQ rights? Mr. Erlinson, you have 1 minute.
This is an issue that's very important to both the Alberta Party and myself. We need to make sure that the most vulnerable members of our society are protected. Children need to feel that they have a safe place where they can discuss their feelings and their sexuality. It is not the government's place to provide a way to out a child against their will. We need to maintain the protections of GSAs and make sure that children have access to a GSA no matter what type of school they're in. It's just a basic human right that needs to be respected.
Great, thank you. Mr. Drover with the NDP, you have 1 minute.
Again, I'm really proud with Rachel, how she's fighting for every family and every single student, and that the GSAs, they really do welcome every student into a caring, respectful, and safe learning environment that reflects diversity and nurtures a sense of belonging and a positive sense of self. This group saves lives. I can't emphasize that enough. Having a group where these students can come together and feel safe and knowing that they will not be outed saves lives. The roll that back will be putting children in danger. And I know that that is the UCP platform, but I appeal to them to change that. If they are elected, which I don't believe they will be, because Jason Kenney has attacked the LGBTQ movement for decades, and I truly believe that our people, our youngest, need to be safe.
Thank you. And Mr. Yao, you have 1 minute.
Let's be clear. The United Conservative Party supports safe schools that protect students against discrimination and bullying. We have to understand when it comes to GSAs, at our highest level legislation, in our Charter of Rights, we have the right to assemble. And at the level closest to these students, within the teacher's own code of conduct, they have the right not to tell a parent about an issue. But short of this issue, we do believe that parents need to be involved as much as possible in their children's education. And we will continue to push for that. But again, when it comes to GSAs and recognizing safety around that, absolutely. I'd like to also rebut Mr. Drover's.
You can use your minute. You have use your minute, and then, or you can rebuttal after.
I see. Apologies.
And Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party, up 1 minute.
Well, we, of course, support the safety and the education of our children. It's very important. We're for the people, by the people. Put this, see what the people want with any changes to any legislation, and the majority will rule.
Great, thank you. Would anybody else like to, or would anybody like to use their rebuttal on this? Mr. Yao, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that the New Democrats continue with slanderous and personal attacks that are very unbecoming, quite honestly, of Premier Notley. But that is unfortunately the case, that's all they have. That is all that the New Democrats have, is to distract from their own horrible economic record, you know. And it's a shame that they have to stoop to these levels during this election. But I recognize that Albertans are tired of it and will not put up with a lot of this lowbrow personal attacks, and that they're going to minds are on the
30 seconds. Thank you. Would anybody else like to use a rebuttal on this question? All right. Moving on and starting this one off will be NDP candidate Stephen Drover. And this is actually our last question of the debate before we get into our closing remarks. These past few weeks, I've seen outbreaks of measles in Alberta. This disease is highly contagious and airborne. It can also be prevented through immunization. Do you think vaccinations should be mandatory in publicly funded schools? Mr. Drover, you have 1 minute.
We do. We really need to examine this issue to see why parents aren't vaccinating their children. It's such a health risk to everyone. And I believe that our government will stand and continue to fund this and ask all parents to get vaccinated their children. It's something that I haven't studied in detail, so I need to really step back on this. But as a parent, I don't understand why we wouldn't be asking our children, or, you know, all the parents to get our children vaccinated.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Yat with the UCP.
As a former health professional and someone who's educated on such things, I very much believe in vaccinations. I believe that we do have to give people the choice, though, and we have to allow them. We do have to ensure that they are educated on what vaccinations are and how they work. And I think that if we have that information provided, people will have a clear understanding of the decisions they have to make. There is a lot of misinformation on this very particular issue.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party.
I would agree that we really need to look at this issue as far as education, to look at these vaccinations. There are some stories that people have had some pretty nasty reactions to them. So really need to identify, well, why is this happening? As far as making it mandatory, again, if the majority of people feel it should be mandatory, then we'll go ahead with that as what the people want. And people should have a choice.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you very much. This is an issue that the Alberta Party takes very seriously. We plan to roll out mandatory vaccinations for all students enrolled in publicly funded education. This means that they would be required to have proof of vaccination to the Alberta Health schedule for vaccinations. The outbreaks of measles throughout North America is absolutely baffling in our modern society with the medical technology that we have, and it's based on misinformation being spread by celebrities and based on bad science from the early 90s. Vaccines save lives, and unless there is a medical reason not to be vaccinated, it's very important that everybody be vaccinated in order to create herd immunity to protect those who, for medical reasons, cannot be vaccinated.
Thank you. Would anybody like to use a rebuttal on this last question? All right. So like I said, each one of you do have a minute to present your closing remarks. And Mr. Yao with the UCP party, we will start with you.
I hope the people of Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, take a look around and see what's happened under an NDP government. We've seen investment disappear. We've seen our friends, our family, our neighbors, coworkers, all move away from our community. We have never seen an economic situation like this in a long time, and it's really disappointing. With the United Conservative government, we can build confidence back in our industries, bring some of those investors back, bring some of that investment back, get our product out, and look forward to a better life and a brighter future here in Alberta.
Thank you. And Mr. Keller with the Alberta Independence Party.
If anybody votes for any of the other parties, hope everybody realizes that over the next 4 years, roughly $140 billion is going to leave this province, never to come back again. We're the only party that can basically put a stop to that. We can generate, we can get three pipelines built rather than just one, and the one that everybody keeps talking about is going to be obsolete. Nobody wants to talk about IMO 2020. Why is that? The present government has racked up a debt which is pretty unbelievable. How are we going to pay for this? Everybody talks about a balanced budget. Well, what does that mean? So you're spending what's coming in. So how are you servicing the debt that you already have? Nobody's addressing that.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Erlinson with the Alberta Party.
Thank you very much. The Alberta Party is looking to provide a balanced approach to our province, balancing our economic future while still making sure that we have the services we need to be a prosperous society. One of the programs that we look to put in place is to increase investment in alternative products that can be made with bitumen. be it plastics or other type stuff. We plan to increase the Alberta Innovates budget by 30% to help drive innovation in this province. We need more markets for our oil in order to bring investment back. The way that we do this is to get our oil to market, world market, not the Gulf Coast, and also create alternative markets in the form of petrochemical products other than gas and diesel.
Thank you. And Mr. Jober with the NDP.
Rachel Notley is fighting for the everyday Albertan, whether it's taking child poverty rates, dropping it in 50%, investing in education, 5 schools here in Fort McMurray, funding renovations to our hospital, including the helipad, upgrading our ambulance services, the aging and care facilities, the $12.6 billion of private financing now for more value-added products and plants being built in our province. She has a vision that's 10, 20, 50 years in the future. She's a visionary. Unfortunately, under Jason Kenney, he's hoping to go back to the United States that's only importing about 30% of the oil that they used to a decade ago. We need to get our oil to world markets. World markets will cause new investment in the oil sands.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank each and every one of you for taking part in joining us for this debate today. Best of luck when everybody heads to the polls on April 16th. Of course, there is advanced polls that are before that. But that is our show for today. To re-listen to this debate, head to our website, mix1037fm.com, where you will also find other election info. And we will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30. Thank you for listening. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and this has been a special edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Thank you for joining us for the Alberta Votes Canada debate, presented by Mix 103.7 and Fort McMurray Today.